Hi, this is Ann Glover, Homeless Engagement Coordinator for the Dallas Public Library. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please keep in mind that these are voices of our community, not necessarily the voices of the Dallas Public Library. We are here to support and get all the information we can so everyone can be well informed of what's happening in our community. First, I want to introduce you guys, okay? Who's with us today? I'm Suzanne Glover, Homeless Engagement Coordinator for the Library.
Kerwin Reese.
Hello, this is Nicholas.
Jonathan Avila, you know, I came here from not too familiar with the city. I mean, I'm from like 9 hours south from here, so it's a whole new world to me. I mean, you know, I've never done this before, ever been homeless, never even seen a homeless person. Crazy, new experience.
Where are you from?
Hebbronville, next to like Laredo or McAllen.
And how long you been here in Dallas?
About 3 weeks to a month.
3 weeks to a month. So how'd you come homeless here in Dallas?
I wasn't tired of going to college and my dad kicked me out because I lost my job and then, you know, my grade failed and then he decided I was going to end up homeless. I mean, you know.
So for the last 3 weeks, you've been homeless here in Dallas. Where have you been staying?
The Bridge. I was at UGM for a while, but I mean, it was too much church, you know. 7 days, two pastors every day. So it was like 14 days of church. I mean, people got crazy over there. Some people started calling me a warlock. I mean, it was like you're talking to himself, calling me a warlock and freaking me out. I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah.
So have you been staying in the Bridge or on the Bridge?
On the streets.
So you stayed outside the Bridge. Okay. So you stay outside the Bridge. So can you tell me more about the experience?
I mean, every night it's either, you know, cop, EMS, or fire truck for some stupid reason. I mean, that K2, I mean, people are passed out. People call the cops. People go crazy every night. It's just every night something new. It's the same thing, but a different person.
Nicholas, what has your experience with homeless been? I know you've been in shelters, found housing, and returned to living on the streets. How has it been for you?
From time to time, I would come down to the Bridge since 2009, when I believe it started. It's been 10 years, to be exact. I was with LifeNet. It had been a minute since I had a job, but I was in boarding homes, so you always have a roommate. So one day, my care manager asked to be my representative payee. So it transpired they had rules and regulations in being compliant with the money that you were getting by you having a mental illness, more so being homeless. But somewhere in there, I transpired, I became a homeowner. And it got even worse after that. So I've been going through the same situation over and over to a point I learned the ropes and see some of the things repeat itself. To a point, this last 2 years and a half has gotten gruesome because instead of always being homeless and always having some safe net to run to, even my safe net became detrimentally disastrous.
Nicholas, thank you for sharing that with us. Ron, what has life for you experiencing homeless been like?
Well, my experience, I ain't gonna lie. I've been sleeping when it snowed. I've been sleeping through the rain, the cold, all that. You know what I'm saying? And I don't see why they stopped a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? Because back before then, there were people feeding. There were people coming through giving you stuff. But all of a sudden, it seems like everything stopped. It's like people say, oh, I feel bad for the homeless. Oh, I feel bad for these people that are sleeping outside. All right, since you say you feel bad for these people sleeping outside, well, hell, do something. Do something. The city gets all this money. Quote, they get all this money. I don't see where they help the homeless at. Because number one, I ain't going to lie. I am half and half homeless. You know what I'm saying? I don't sleep on the streets like I used to. But
well, you did sleep outside.
Yeah, I did sleep outside.
How did you prepare for the bad weather? You said snow for the bad weather? And rain.
How did I prepare for the bad weather? I slept in it. I didn't prepare nothing. I had a blanket and cardboard. I used to sleep behind the 500 building when it was raining, snowing, all that. You couldn't sleep, you know, that little shed thing up under the city hall. They'd move us around. So we had to go somewhere. So you got to lay down. Your body is weak. Your body gets tired. It shuts down. So when my body shut down, that's why I lay down. So I used to sleep behind the 500 building in the rain, see the snow. Police ride by and they don't say nothing.
Can you tell me a time, the worst weather experience you ever had?
Snow. I put it like that because it ain't no real snow in Texas.
How was that for you? Can you tell me more about that?
Sleeping under one blanket and you got a piece of cardboard, it's bad. It's bad.
Frostbites.
I feel real bad. I'm figuring in my head, even though I'm my own person, I'm figuring in my head, dang, can somebody stop? Can somebody help? You know what I'm saying? No. There's no help. There's no nothing.
So you mentioned frostbites.
Frost when it's cold. You know, you get you know how your body get real cold, turn red, or just like real frostbite.
Did you want to go into a shelter then? I know shelters have inclement weather.
I wanted to, but back then, I had got kicked out of the so-called Bridge for something I didn't even do. And Salvation Army, too far, Dallas Life Foundation. They was already full, and that was it. I ain't have nowhere else to go. You know what I'm saying? There was nobody else letting in. And even though I know it's a law that states if the weather below 40, the shelters have to let you in. But some of these shelters, they don't. Number one, I can say, is the bridge. You know what I'm saying? Anything less than 40. And I done it before. When the first time the bridge opened, I done it before. I go up there, I'm telling them it's cold. Well, you got to go somewhere else. Y'all ain't even full. But I got to go somewhere else. And then if I go get a police officer, and I bring the police officer over there, they come up with some other story. But in the law, it says, in the states, even though you've been kicked out of a shelter, they have to let you in. That is a law.
So the next morning when you survived, how did you feel? What was your thoughts?
Hospital. I went to Parkland, and I stayed there half a day because I was getting sick and all this, and I stayed in Parkland and left there, came back downtown because I have nowhere else to go. Even though I got family down here, I don't depend on nobody. Me, myself, I am self-dependent, you know, so I don't ask my family for nothing.
So future weather, when you know it's going to be really cold, icy, snowing, do you kind of resort back to the bad weather that day? Did you go to the hospital? You get scared, nervous?
Yeah, I get nervous, you know.
Do you do anything then to prepare for that?
Yeah. I just get, like back then when I used to pass out blankets and all that, I just get more blankets, blankets, yeah. Because that's all there is. Didn't have tents, like Tent City and all this they have now. Back when I was homeless, Tent City, there was no Tent City.
What about you? What was the worst weather you ever experienced?
I mean, I've only been here for summer. I mean, it gets pretty hot, though. I mean, it'll be like 89, but feels like 100. So it's hotter than it actually is. So, like, it's hot, not that hot, but then it's hotter. So it makes it feel hot. Like, you know, if you eat a hot pocket outside when it's hot versus in the AC, it's going to be, you know, two different mouths.
So how do you guys get hydrated in the summertime?
Water. Water and food.
We have two extremes here. We have someone, winter, ice storm, you summer. So brings me to my next question. Which weather do you prefer?
When it is cloudy. And it's not cold, not hot, it's, you know, in between, fall and spring, yeah. Just stay hot, or just pouring down rain, and this 3-hour, 4-hour snow that Texas get.
I prefer not to be outside. I try to be in AC as long as I can.
So what do you want from the community? If you only had a couple words to express that, what would you want from us? From the community, from the city, from the bridge? In a couple of words.
In a couple of words. Housing, a job, that's it. Because if you get housing and you get a job, but some of these people don't want it, you know. But if you can help these people with housing and a job, you got a lot of people out here that wants that. But you got people that say, oh, we're going to help. Okay, you're going to help, but where's the help? Just like back then, they put homeless people in some kind of college thing in Richardson. A couple of people messed it up, but the people that messed it up, that's the people you should put out. Don't put out the people that's trying, you know.
Okay, so what about you?
I mean, I just want to try to be heard. I mean, I'm here, you know, I'm going to try to get a job and stuff.
You just want to be heard?
Yeah. I mean, I get my social. You know, that's a complicated part right there. Getting your social, you know, you got to wait months on end.
Social Security card, is that what you're referring to? Okay. So you saying once you get your Social Security card, once you get your identification, then you'll be able to get gainful employment.
I've been waiting for like a month, you know, just there.
So Teron and Jonathan bring up work and being heard, which I think is a good way to bring the conversation back to something you and I were talking about before we recorded today. Nicholas, you said having a job and experiencing homelessness is difficult because of perception others have of you, like your coworkers and employers. Can you tell us a little about how people have viewed you in the workplace?
Right. If only they knew what you did the night after you left work, from sleeping on the ground, from either begging for some money to get some food or hopping in a car to get a ride to wherever you're trying to go because the distance is so far, you run out of money for transportation to get to the bus stop or anything like that. To a point I actually was far from a job from asking one of the people for $3, one of the boss ladies to get home from work.
We all understand that everyone have something to go through in life. How do you feel about mental health and how it impacts the homeless?
I mean, some of them are damn liars. I tell you that. They act crazy. Some are crazy. I mean, they talk to himself like earlier. As he was hiding behind a bush, talking to himself about girls. When a girl's like trying to walk away, as soon as she walks away, he starts yelling at the girl but didn't even see the girl there until she walks away.
But how do you feel about mental health and homeless? Do you think that experiencing homeless kind of messes your psyche a little bit?
Oh, yeah, it makes me paranoid, trust me.
It does. You can see a lot of people out here that it messes with. But one thing I don't understand is mental health and all this here. What I don't understand is why can the city not get a building and put these people in instead of letting them go to, what's that, Green Oaks and doing this? Then they put them out, had the Dallas police to bring them out here and drop them off. If you had a place for these people, you wouldn't have this problem with this mental health and all this. You know what I'm saying? People using it on themselves, people using it in the community. You know what I'm saying? If you get rid of that, if you help that situation, you wouldn't have what you have right now.
Yeah, I think it's a lost cause sometimes because some people are just not there. I mean, you could talk to them. You could look in their eyes and they're talking to you, looking at you, but they're not talking to you. And you could get up and move and they'll still be talking.
On a typical good day, no bad weather at all. You're not addressing mental health concerns or anything like that. What does a typical day look like for you guys?
I wake up in the morning, brush my teeth, wash my face, come downtown and, you know, chill with my friends, you know what I'm saying, with people that I was out here with, because that's one thing about me. I never forget where I come from, where I've been. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say, oh, I'm staying in somewhere. Forget about these people. You know what I'm saying? They're nothing. I'm not like that. So to me, a typical day is to come out here and hang with the people that I was with or who I was down with. You know what I'm saying? That's about me. I don't have a job right now. I didn't too long. Plus, I ain't too long to get out of prison. I don't forget where I come from and where the people that helped me get to where I'm at. You know, that's one thing. I'm not going to shut down. I don't like when people talk about the homeless, number one. Number two, because a person that talks about, I don't understand why do people talk about the homeless, because what they don't understand is they 1 foot away from where these people can be. Just like if they was to have a recession right now and there was no jobs, there was nothing. Who you think would survive the longest? That's why I said I don't have no problem with homeless.
It's hard being homeless out here, huh?
Not really hard. It's just a lot of waiting, a lot of misinformation. They tell you a lot, but you don't really listen a lot. So it's like you wake up and you're like, they didn't even tell me that, but they told you.
Who is they?
Like the people working at the bridge. They talk and you days out. You don't hear the right information. You just hear some information. And it's like, they didn't even tell me. You go back and ask and then there's a big old argument that they did tell you.
What I'm hearing is that you wish communication was a little better. So you can receive it better and then make your decisions based on that information, be more informed. So what's your typical day look like?
Nothing but waiting, you know, sleeping, waiting, and waiting. I mean, at UGM, it was like I waited and then, you know, woke up in the morning, waited for the bus, got on the bus, waited to get in the bridge, and then waited for breakfast, and then got out of breakfast and waited for lunch. And then, like, I had, like, 2 hours, like, oh, thank God. And then finally when it hits 2 o'clock, I got to wait again. I got to wait to go to UGM and do the same thing over again. It's all waiting.
How have you experienced being here at the library for both of you?
It's a good experience. I love the library. I
love it too. I started reading a book, changed my life.
I know everybody. Opened my mind. I know everybody here because I've been here. Like I said, I've been downtown for a long time. So I know half of the workers. I know half of the security from the library to the city hall. I know dang near everybody. You know, they don't give me no problems. I don't try to get them no problems. And like I said, I thank God for the library, because the library is what helps a lot of the homeless people, because they have somewhere to go in, get on a computer, read a book, you know, spend their time, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But if there wasn't a library, oh, it'd be chaos.
We appreciate you guys. We're glad that you felt comfortable coming here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Thank you.